Facebook Live, make some comments and those kind of things. We're going to be looking today at the Word of the Lord and what God has for us. And we're starting a new series called Reset, the Reset Sermon Series. And so we pray that God will move on your heart and on your life. And wow, it's a storm, right? So thank you for joining us and being a part of Facebook Live as well. Wow. So this is a hard sermon, and so we're just going to just sort of talk through it and look at it. Usually I am super crazy and hype, and I love bringing funny stories. And as I was working on the sermon this week, for most of the week, I just sat at a blank page. And I don't know about you, my thoughts are all over the place. My life, the life of people are all over the place. And so eventually on Wednesday, I was writing a sermon for our youth group, and I wrote that one, and then I just said, you know what, no more social media, amen? So I said, no more social media for the entire, thank you. And so for the entire, until Sunday, I'm just not going to look at what everybody else is saying and what everybody else is preaching, even though it's good, and just really try to hear from God and not know, I have no idea what's happened since Wednesday. So if it's gotten good, hallelujah. If it's gotten bad, I have no idea. It's just what God had spoke to me, and I want to read from my paper first before we get into the sermon, because I want to speak specifically to some things, and I'm having a lot of feedback in my mic or phone, so if you could help me. So to be honest, this sermon in this series has been my hardest to write, or hardest. My paper has remained blank almost the entire week. Our world has been and continues to be so conflicted. Whenever you think one thing is over, something else starts. And then even this morning, we have a crystal ball right on top of us that will pass directly through Terrebonne and Lafourche. I would love to say that it would be over, and that as a person who has never said this, I don't often reflect on revelations because I'm so busy thinking of the kingdom today. It would be easy to say that perhaps the end times are closer than they have ever been, and that would be obvious. And lately, I've been longing for the sounding of the trumpet more than ever. There's still a little bit of a hum on me. Can you just pull the mic down a little bit? And so, which would be obvious in how quickly systems are falling apart, our world systems. So many things have been unprecedented, such as a worldwide quarantine that is and will continue to affect every nation on this planet. It will affect those with the least even more disparagingly. Nations are crumbling underneath the weight of it. My heart is burdened and overwhelmed and troubled and sad. In El Salvador, our sister church in El Salvador, just one of the continued countries affected, they have been hit with a hurricane that is causing landslides on top of hunger, joblessness, and the church whom we partner with every year, their pastor Mauricio has what they're calling pneumonia, but they have no way of knowing others. They have no way of knowing because they have no testing in the country. There is just one country, as we hear of, that's just one of the countries. We have India, who is also affected by a storm on top of COVID-19. And Maui, in our country in Sierra Leone, where we have adopted two kids within this church. The Philippines have been in quarantine for over 70 days, and they're not allowed to get out or do anything. It has been overwhelmingly impacted. The estimated people that will die of hunger this year because of it will be unprecedented, because they are not able to supply the food to these countries that are what we would call third world countries. There's no way to get food to them. We won't feel that as Americans, but it doesn't mean that it's not happening and we shouldn't be burdened, because they are our brothers and they are our sisters. And then we look into this country with now over 100,000 dead and counting because of COVID-19. People are without sources of income. There is it is hitting the underprivileged within this disease, and the wealthier are getting wealthier, and the poor are getting poorer still. These are our brothers and our sisters. And then there's the horrific death of George Floyd, Ahmaud, and countless others with race inequality and prejudice, which has been sinister and systematic in America for hundreds of years. It has been exposed yet again, but really, it has never stopped. The wickedness of racism has showed just how far away we are from God's heart of loving our neighbor as ourselves. The injustices that have come through the privileged and those injustices that follow and continue to follow have caused the nation to reel. They are our brothers and our sisters. Our nation is beyond divided. At times, it seems like we will find no way out. What started as a year at Hope Community for us of going all in and finding connection, if you can even remember those sermon series, remember all in, and remember we were going to get connected with God, has quickly dismantled to barely making it, if at all. We as a church and the capital C church are suffocating under depression, blatant racism, discouragement, fear, abandonment, patterns of sin, and pain. And that's just to name a few. We are hurting. The world's systems hold no answers for us. In fact, at times, it seems that they revel in the chaos and they want even more of the chaos to abound. And so the question becomes, what should the church do? And this is where I pray that your heart will be open, because I want you to understand and rightly divide the word of truth. And then ask yourself, not what also should the church do, what should I do as our individual? Our church, yes, but the church at large. And I think of pressing a reset button. And here's the thing that I want to say before we get started, not to say that anything that I just said doesn't matter. Not to say that racism shouldn't be exposed and action should not be taken, but a reset button within us, the believer, so that we can better affect Christ-like change in our culture. If we don't reset ourselves, the world will never change. So whenever we look at the Gospels, whenever we look at the prophets, whether you look at Isaiah, even before he says to correct injustice and to correct oppression, which is biblical, he always says, and the prophets always say, wash yourselves, make yourself clean before God. Before you can take an action, you have to make sure that you and your life is clean. And so today, we're going to be pressing the reset button, not on the world systems, because I cannot affect change into them, but I can affect change first. And this is not the end of the series. This is the beginning. I can affect change into myself and into culture. Re is a prefix. Everybody say prefix. It's a prefix which speaks to doing something again or starting anew. And there are many things that can happen with this word re. We can be restored. Amen. We can be renewed. We can be reconnected. We are trying and pressing hard to reconnect to the local body of believers. We can be revived. We can even reproduce. That's the call of the church, is to reproduce and make more disciples that make disciples, that ultimately when we go on to heaven, that there will be a lineage behind us, not just of our kids or our heritage or our generation, but children that love the Lord and families that love the Lord. We are called to reproduce. And ultimately, God will reveal his promises and plans for your life. But for today, and everybody say today, we're going to start with the word repent. So if you're writing notes, because we don't have a bulletin yet, we'll have them by next week, we promise. We're going to focus in on the word to repent. Biblically, any re that happens, whether it's restoration or renewal or reconnection or revival, if it's reproduction or if it's God revealing his plans, has to start with this word that is called repentance. It has to be a part of our mindset. If we are going to go into reset mode, we must, and I say myself, I cannot do this for you. I have to do this with myself and the Lord. Before we take action, we must make a reaction of repentance. If you will, turn in your Bibles to 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 and verse 14. Now, as you're turning there, and if you're looking there online, maybe post it for us or type it out. In chapter 7, in verse 14, we're going to talk about repentance as the Bible taught. It's a call of a person to make a radical turn from one way of life to another. Now, most of the time, repentance happens in salvation. So we repent of our sins and we turn to Christ. And the Bible says that that is salvation. So we're turning to the Lord and we're turning towards salvation. The repentance call throughout the Bible is a summons to a personal, absolute, and ultimate and unconditional surrender to God as sovereign. This is a lifestyle. Somebody say a lifestyle. So 2 Corinthians, Chronicles in chapter 7 in verse 14, it says, if my people who are called by my name will humble, everybody say humble. If they will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land. And so today we're going to talk about not asking the world system to change anything. We're not going to ask anyone that is outside of ourselves to change anything. Rather, we are going to look at ourselves, because in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse 14, it says, if my people, everybody say my people. So the call of God on repentance, or living a lifestyle of repentance, even Jesus said, to forgive as we are forgiven. And how many of you know we've been forgiven a lot? We've been forgiven all of our sins. In fact, that's the only way that we can go to heaven, because of Christ's forgiveness. And so we are to live a lifestyle of repentance, of seeking out the name of the Lord, calling his name, humbling yourselves and praying and seeking not another social media status, but rather seeking God's face. This is not saying that we are not to take action against oppression, but it says before you do that we are to repent. Now, I have kids in my household. Anybody else have kids in your house? My daughter, she has these meltdowns about once a week. We adopted 4 kids. I don't know if it's because of that or because of just the way that she is. I know she's in the room this morning, but this is true, and you can ask her. And she literally goes crazy nutso. I mean, she is funny, right? She's super funny, and I love her super a lot, but something will happen in her brain, and I don't know if she wakes up on the wrong side of the bed or something in her mind is dramatized, like this is what was said last night. I'm not sure, but at the end of the day, or end of this spell, she will denounce her family, her siblings. She has no love for humankind. Sometimes she'll like walk out the door and pretend like she's just going to leave us forever, and the like, and basically, we know it's coming, because this has happened over and over again. And so eventually, after she comes down and settles down, and there's a consequence, eventually she turns her heart and she repents. In fact, she's even used the word now, Mom, I repent. She doesn't even ask for forgiveness, she asks for repentance. And at the end of the day, this is what she'll do after this is all over and she's decided that she loves us again and she wants to be back in good graces of the family. The first person that she comes back to is me. And she'll come into my arms and she'll come and sort of look at me, and she'll say these words, Mom, I'm sorry. She even uses the word, I repent. And I think of that situation, and I think about how we are to be a people that repent. That we are to say sorry, first of all, to God. That we're having an absolute and unlimited, unconditional surrender to God. Our sins separate us from him. We are divided us from him. They make a disconnection from us to him, and we need to repent. Somebody say, repent. Now, we must repent. If you're writing notes, we must repent, number one, to God. The first person that my daughter makes it right with is me. The first person or the entity that we make it right with is God. You have to be a repenting person. You know to do right, it says in James, but then you do wrong. So what do you have to do? You repent. You know to live pure, but yet you're living in sexual sin. What is the thing that you're to do? To repent, to turn away from it, to surrender as God is sovereign and say, this is not the lifestyle I can live in anymore. So I repent from that lifestyle. I turn away from that sin. Maybe you have been angry and you have sinned and your anger has caused you to sin. There is a righteous anger. Even Jesus had a righteous anger, but there is an anger that causes us to sin. And rather than walking in that and living in that, what we're to do as believers, now I'm not talking to an unbeliever, I'm talking to, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, that's us. So if I'm talking to us, we have to be a people that say, hey, some of this is on us, the church, or me individually. I have been angry and sinned, or maybe you have harbored unforgiveness in your heart. And the Bible says that that is like an evil and a bitter root that you're allowing to take place. And it's just time to repent and turn away from that sin. Maybe racism has been a part of your way of thinking and your actions. And what you need to do is repent and turn away from it and not excuse it because it's a pattern that you've inherited from your father and your father's father and your father's father. But rather, you need to look at it and say, you know, this is an action that has been allowed in my life for too long, and I need to repent from it and I need to turn away. So the first thing that we have to do as believers, and again, I'm not talking to the world, I'm talking to us. We have to repent. We have to turn to God and say, my way of living, my way of thinking, my way of speaking is not the way that you have for me. And I repent. Can everybody just say that? I repent. Now that's hard. I don't know, that's hard for me. The hardest thing for me to do, not so much with God, because I know, right, God is forgiving and he loves me, and that as far as the east is from the west, so are my sins. I love that verse, right? I stand on that verse, and that God is a forgiving God, and he sent Jesus to the cross to forgive me. In fact, repenting to God is the easy part. The next part is we must ask forgiveness of others. So this is number two. So as you repent unto the Lord, here's usually what happens. You have to go and find the person that you have wronged or the entity that you have wronged and say these words, I am sorry. Can you say that? I am sorry. So, right, I'm going to use my daughter as an example. I love her, right? But we're using this as an example. So in my house, after she comes and repents to me, because usually it starts with me, the next thing is that she has all these brothers and sisters that are angry at her because she has been nutso the entire day. So the next thing that she has to do is, and I make her do this, is that she has to go to each brother and sister and tell them, I'm sorry, I love you. In fact, I make her say two nice things to each kid. Sometimes it's 10, you know, because she has a hard time with this. And so she goes to each person that she has wronged. So why? So that the enemy doesn't get a foothold in my family. Because at the end of the day, family's forever. I tell them this. And so your friends come and go, situations come and go, but your family's forever. And so we're looking at this and saying, okay, so I don't want a foothold. I want my kids to love each other, and like for their kids to love each other and their grandkids to love each other. So I don't want a foothold in my family. So I don't want a foothold in the church of God. I don't want to have a place where the enemy can sit and rest and say, oh, but when you said this or did this or whatever the instance is, forgiveness and humbling have to be a part of who we are. It's often the most needed thing. The hardest thing for me to do in my life is to tell Ted I'm sorry. It is. After we've had a fight, yes, we fight. It is humbling, and it's needed, however, for us to continue in our relationship. At one point, one of us are going to have to say we're sorry. And usually Ted is better at this than I am, and he'll come and say, I'm sorry for this or I'm sorry for that. But at the end of the day, in order for our relationship and our unity to not be be disconnected. We have to ask forgiveness of each other. My daughter asked again and again, and again, eventually her brothers and her sisters, because they love her, also offer their forgiveness. We have to be a repenting people. Can somebody say repenting? And Jesus says this in Matthew chapter 5 in verse 23. He says, "If therefore you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has anything against you, be reconciled to your brother." He doesn't say keep on worshiping. He doesn't say keep on acting like nothing happened, because at the end of the day, we are human and we know that things are happening and have happened. And so this is what Jesus says. He says, "Remember that your brother has anything against you, be reconciled to your brother." So go and make things right and then come and offer your gift. So Jesus is saying, hey, as we repent to God, God's going to speak a now word that we are repenting for other things. I remember one time in my journal, I just had a repentance week where I just repented for all these things, and I'm evil. Like, I realized that very quickly, that I have an evil heart, I have an evil nature, and that there are so many things in my life, and I just began to list them. God, I repent for this, but sometimes I had to go and make that right with other people. Can I get an amen? I can't just say, well, I repented to God and that's good enough. No, no, no. See, the Bible is clear by biblical principles that we are to go and repent to other people. If you have done something wrong, if you have had an incorrect way of thinking, if you have done things and you know, and you say, but Tara, what if they don't say I'm sorry back? God doesn't say anything about that. He says us as believers are to offer and to be a repenting people. If you have something against your brother, even before you go into worship, make it right. You say, I did that wrong. Maybe you need to say, I saw that wrong. I acted wrong. My heart was wrong. My words were wrong. And then you ask them to forgive you. Now, if they do or don't, that's on them. But you take that step and you say, I am asking for forgiveness for these things that I have done wrong. Sometimes the Bible says, confess your sins to one another and you will be healed. And you say, well, why do I have to confess my sins to one another? Didn't God hear? Absolutely. But here's what it is. It's accountability. When you start confessing your sins and saying these things are wrong in my life and I saw that incorrectly or I did this wrong, there is an accountability. So within my family right now, there is an accountability to my youngest daughter. She cannot say that anymore. But why? Because not only did she confess to me, she also told her brothers and sisters how much she loves them and how much she cares for them. And so she's asking for forgiveness. We must be a people of forgiveness. In this world today, we're not seeing much of repentance to God. We are not seeing, you know, even during COVID-19, I thought I would see a church that would cry out to God. And yet I'm seeing a church that says, we're going to make it. We're going to be back stronger than ever. But so many times in the Bible, Jesus just says, look at your heart. Look at your life. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then, everybody say then. Then I will hear from heaven, and then I will begin to move in their land. My biggest prayer is that God would move again in our land. After 2.5, 3 months, my prayer is that God would move again and that he would cause people to rise up and be the cause that God has for us. And that happens first and primarily through the repentance of God's people. If I could read in verse in Isaiah, it says this, Isaiah 1:16-17, wash yourselves, make yourselves clean. And then he says, then you're going to go out and have some action. Today, we're just washing ourselves. We're looking at our lives and saying, God, start with me as an individual. Have I been racist? And look at that picture. We're not to look at the picture of everybody else, but look at myself and look at my heart and the way that I have lived life and ask myself, do I need to repent from that sin? Do I need to repent from the sins that God has listed that are against him? Whatever that is, have I not spoken up? And James, it says that. It says if you know to do good and you don't do it, it's sin. So if you know to stand up for your brother or your sister and you don't do it, it's sin. And guess what? You need to repent before God, and then you go and you take that thing to your brother or your sister and ask for repentance, and then say, can you please forgive me? And then again, the ball is on their court. So we ask the Lord for forgiveness. We ask each other for forgiveness. And then the third point today is we must call out for our nation. We must call out for our nation. I have been in countries and lived in countries that are divided. I have lived in places where people have rifles and AK-47s or whatever they're called. I was in a place in Nicaragua where there were men that literally guarded the church with AK-47s. I've been in places full of gangs and places that are so divided. And I think if anything that the enemy would want was that, first of all, our nation wouldn't be under God, and then also that we would be so divided. And we see that in our nation today. And I'm not saying that we don't take action. Again, those sermons are coming. But what I am saying that we call out as believers, we are to call out for our nation. Look at that verse again. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek God's face. And the one of the best and most excellent examples I've seen of that is in Daniel chapter 9. In Daniel chapter 9, there's a problem in the country, and Daniel is crying out unto the Lord. And as he cries out for himself and asks for forgiveness, and that he's made things right with others. And then in Daniel chapter 9 in verse 3, it says, then I turned my face to the Lord God, seeking him by prayers and pleas for mercy with fasting. And so even now as we repent, and we're going to have a time of repentance, and you say, but Tara, I didn't do anything wrong. Yes, you have. There are sins that are personal. There are sins that are each other. And there are sins that our nation has committed. And we as a people are to cry out to the Lord with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. And then he said in verse 4, I prayed to the Lord God, my God, and made confession. Everybody say confessing. Confession, saying, God, I have gotten this wrong. I have some ways that I have had before me that are wrong. And then you make it right with your brother or your sister, and then you confess unto the Lord. And he says, oh Lord, the great and awesome God, who keeps covenant and steadfast love with those who love him and keep my commandments, we have sinned and done wrong. We have acted, look how he puts himself in there. We have acted wickedly and rebelled. We have turned aside from your commandments and rules. We have not listened to the servants or the prophets who spoke in the name to the kings or princes. We haven't listened to our fathers and all the people of the land. To you, O Lord. And he always brings it back to the Lord. As he's crying out for his nation, he's turning his focus back on the Lord. He says, to you, O Lord, in verse 7, belongs righteousness, but us open shame. At this day, to the men of Judah, to the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and to all Israel, those who are near and those who are far away, and all the lands which we have driven them because of the treachery that they have committed against you, to us, O Lord. Notice again how he sort of claims that belongs open shame, and to our kings and our princes and our fathers, because we have sinned against you. To the Lord our God belong mercy and forgiveness, for we have rebelled against him, and we have not obeyed the voice of our Lord of God by walking in his laws, which he has set before us by his servants, the prophets. And then he says, all of Israel has transgressed. And in verse 13, we're going to skip to there, it says, as it is written in the law of Moses, all this calamity has come upon you, yet we have not entreated the favor of the Lord, turning from our iniquities and gaining insight by your truth. And Daniel continues in this prayer of humbling himself and saying, God, all these things are happening, yet the thing that never happened was that we have not turned to the Lord. We have not turned from our iniquities and our sins, and we have not gained your insight and your truth. Today, we have to be a people that call out for our nation. If we want to affect change, and that's coming, and will be powerful, the way that we do that first is through repentance. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? I'm going to play. I'm going to ask Brandon to come back on stage. We're going to throw the lights down. And my question is simply this, as you sort of open up your hearts, where is your heart? Have you repented of your sins? You know, if you don't know the Lord, that's the way of salvation. Believe in your heart, confess with your mouth, you will be saved. That's repentance. That's turning away from. But that's not, it doesn't stop at salvation and say, oh, well, I'm good and I'm covered. Rather, that's saying, hey, for the rest of my life, that's how I'm going to live life. And that's against a world system. Our culture is saying, no, just blame it all on somebody else. But rather, it's saying, look at our lives, God. Turn our heart and our affection back to you. And show us of any sin that we have before you. And for each individual in this room and any person that is watching, that's just going to be uniquely different. But what it is it's cleansing us. It's washing us. It's purifying us and saying, okay, God, I can't start out there until I start in here. I can't affect change out there until I affect change in here. And so today we're going to have a time of repentance before God and humbling ourselves and saying, God, I don't even know the way, but I know you are the way. I don't know all truth. I know you are the truth. And it's just confessing your sins. Maybe today in service, you need to go and find a brother or sister and make things right. Or maybe right after this time is done, you call them, you text them. Hey, can we eat after the storm? Can we check this out? Hey, can we make things right? Because I don't want a stronghold in the family of the Lord. Can we make these things right? Because these things are not right. And maybe you just need to ask forgiveness and say these three words, I am sorry. But also as believers, I know the unique call of believers is to call out for our nation. We are to stand on the wall and proclaim truth, yes, but also in times like these, to be like the Isaiahs and to be like the Jeremiahs and the Daniels and in 2 Chronicles and say, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face, then God will hear. And maybe there's just a time where we do that. And so with every head bowed and every eye closed, we're going to spend a moment singing, just playing a soft music. And maybe you need to go make it right. Maybe you need to kneel right at your chair and you say, really? But man, what an opportunity it is to kneel before the Lord and say, God, I just repent. I just say that I don't have this all together. And then maybe you need to repent to your brothers or your sisters and say, I don't have that all together. And maybe you just need to cry out for your nation. You know, this altar is open. I know that we have to social distance, so do it with respect. But maybe you can just make this altar a place where in the next couple of minutes, you just cry out to God for your nation or cry out for yourself or those things that you have done against the Lord or against other people and say, you know what? That wasn't right. And today I start with bringing this before my Heavenly Father. If you would just do that in the room for a couple of minutes, we're just going to pray and sing again in a couple of minutes. But right now, would you just take time to ask God to forgive you of those things that are wrong and are sin? Thank you. beautiful thing is that God's forgiveness is free. When you run to Him, He just offers it again and again, and I don't deserve that, but He just gives it. Pray that we would humble ourselves. God, in a world that is saying everything else, God, I pray that we would just look to Scripture. God, the truth of God's Word, and that we would humble ourselves. God, we would seek Your face. God, today we just ask for forgiveness for us. God, I ask for forgiveness for myself. For every thought that wasn't pure. God, for every mindset that is unbiblical. God, for every way that I have treated people when it's been wrong. God, for every time under my breath, God, I have said something that is dishonoring to You. God, today I just repent. God, I ask that You would forgive me. God, I am in desperate need of Your mercy. God, I am in desperate need of Your grace. God, I can't move without You. God, I know that I can't breathe without You. And so, God, I just pray for forgiveness. Individually, God, in my own life. And I pray that I would repent. God, I wouldn't just say I'm sorry and then go back and do the same old thing that I've always done. But God, that I would treat Your grace with honor and respect, and I would change my ways. God, I want to change. I don't want to be the same person. I don't want to have a mindset because that's the way that it's always been. But God, I pray that You will just open our eyes. God, open our ears to hear You. God, I pray for us in the room if we have anything against our brother or our sister. God, that we would just make those things right. God, speak to us even now in this day, God, that thing that we have hold on to, the bitterness, God, that we would go and seek forgiveness. God, that's going to be so humbling. But God, it's going to be so God-honoring. So I just pray that You will give us the strength to do that, not just to confess to You, but to confess to those that we have been wrong against. God, I cry out for my nation. God, our nation. God, I hold no answers. God, I hold no wisdom, but I know You do. And God, I just see over and over again in Scripture that as we clean ourselves and as we repent from our sins as believers, God, that You will heal our land. And God, that's all I'm asking for is, God, whatever it takes, God, that You will just heal our land. God, that we would do the back half of Isaiah 2. God, that we would, God, seek and fight against injustice and call out the oppressors. God, that the work is just getting started, that repentance is just the first work. But God, there's some actions that we're going to have to take. So as we repent, God, just help us to have that heart and that mindset. God, that as we repent, God, that you would reveal the actions and God, that you would revive, that you would reconnect us, Lord God. But we cry out for our country. God, only you can move. So God, I just pray that you will be with us. God, that you will surround us even in this storm, that you will keep us safe. And that you will be our strength. And God, that we will continue all the days of our life to be a repenting people. In Jesus' name. Can we just sing that part holy, just recognizing that he is holy. Just putting him back on the throne.
There is none beside you. Open up my eyes and wonder and show me who you are and fill me with your heart and lead me in your love to know surround and holy there is no one like there.
Build our house, our lives on your love. God, we choose to look at your holiness and your righteousness. God, not a worldly standard of that, but a godly standard of that. And God, I thank you that you forgive. God, what a privilege and honor, God, that the God of heaven says, I forgive you. God, help us to be a forgiving people, to replicate that over and over and over again. God, not just 7 times, but 7 times 70, which means infinitely, because you infinitely forgive us of everything that we have done and will do. So God, help us to go forth and do that same thing. God, just to offer forgiveness, to listen. We thank you that you are in this place. God, we pray, God, your protection and your blessing. God, that your face would shine upon us and give us rest. In Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. We love you guys. Walk in forgiveness in Jesus' name. And we'll see you this Wednesday.